you would like to open your Bible, we're going to look at John chapter 16. John chapter 16, we'll look at verses 25 through 33. We're in the middle of a very tenuous piece of scripture. It's approaching Jesus' trial. And it's in between the Last Supper and Jesus' prayer. This is what John records for us, starting in verse 25. I've said these things to you, everything beforehand. I've said these things to you in figures of speech, but an hour is coming, the hour is coming, when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech. No more illusions, no more illustrations. I'm going to tell you plainly or concretely about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I did not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I am from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and you don't need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." And Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Like, really? This moment? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Would you read that last verse with me, verse 33? "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." It's easier for us on this side of things to know how the story ends. But in the middle of it, there was a lot of tension going on, not just for Jesus, as you saw, dramatized by Aaron. Thank you for that. Again, we can read scripture very flatly and plainly and forgetting that while he's 100% God, he cried when he skinned his knee. And we can only imagine how he might feel to take upon the wrath of God on himself and suffer in the place of people like you and me. It's spiritual, it's physical, it's emotional, but the tension eventually breaks. There are two sections in John. In the very beginning, from chapter 1 to chapter 12, John is working really hard to show you all of these reasons why you should trust Jesus. They would call it traditionally the book of signs. Remember in John chapter 21 when he writes to you, certainly to people in the first century, but to you and me today, like, "I write these things to you so that you may believe in Jesus, the Son of God." It's jam-packed, filled with Jesus healing and Jesus doing. 13 through really the rest of the book, basically. It's about glory. They would traditionally call it the book of glory. Why on planet Earth would they do that? Because it's Jesus's really his last week leading up to the cross and marching deliberately to the cross. And most of the time, he's with his friends. That's what you've seen in a lot of these different scenes, how Jesus is with his friends, serving his friends, either cleaning their feet and doing the job that no one wants, or serving them a meal. Even though he functioned somewhat as the head of his household, he served them a meal, lovingly so, foreshadowing his eventual death. And even in the garden, what does he do? He prays for himself, but he prays for his friends too. And he prays for you too. He prays for me. The tension disappears because we know that Jesus resurrects. Jesus is about to conclude his earthly ministry here in 25 through 28. He's been using all of these stories this entire time, these pictures. But the disciples desperately want Jesus to start speaking plainly, and he promises that there's an hour that's coming. This is eschatological hope. It's an introduction to a brand new way of life, that they get access to the kingdom. That's I've said these things to you in figures of speech, but the hour is coming. We're on the precipice. Just hold on for a couple more days, and I'm not going to speak to you in figures and allusions and pictures anymore. It's going to be open wide for you. I'm not going to have to hide anything for you anymore. When is the moment, though, in which he speaks concretely to them? In him serving, in him giving a meal to his friends, even in how he prays, everything points to the cross. Even in Jesus' teaching here about how he overcomes the world, the hour that's coming where he doesn't speak in figurative language anymore is announced in the cross and his resurrection. And that day you're going to ask, in my name. And I did not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. Instead, he's saying you're going to be able to do that in my stead. Instead. This isn't just going to change your life. It changes your prayer life too. What does that mean? What's that look like? We'll get to it in a moment. You're going to be able to ask the Father on my behalf. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I've come from God. And then this amazing, climactic, it really sums up Jesus' ministry. I've come from the Father and have come into the world, and now I'm leaving the world and going to the Father. Jesus is saying that he's come to give direct access to his brothers, who he spent 3.5 years with, and to you and me, direct access to God. Do you want to know what it's like to be loved by God? You look at his son, Jesus. Do you want to know what it's like to have the God of the universe sing over you and delight in you? You delight in his son, Jesus. You want to know what it's like to have the God of the universe provide for your every need? You serve one another and you serve Jesus. We get access to the Father. And when we trust Jesus, the Father loves us deeply and personally. We don't get one without the other. It's a package deal. We get them both at the same time. Two for the price of one, friends. When you want to get to know someone in my family, or you want to be friends with my wife, this is a package deal. You get all of our kids too. Ain't it great? You want to get to know me? You want to just keep it to my wife. We want joy. We want peace. We want strength for today. We want provision tomorrow. Jesus says all of that comes through him, but by the Father's hand. Jesus wanted his disciples to feel secure in God's love. Why? Because he knew that there would be hard days coming. That word, trouble or tribulation, we hear that word a time or two, especially in the latter books of the Bible too, in the apocalyptic literature. Bad days come, and bad days will come. He promises to overcome. Maybe you have a bad day now. I promise you there are more bad days coming for you. But Jesus promises to overcome. He invites us to pray, though, in his name. When the world is shaken, when everything around you begins to fall apart, when there is no certainty left in life, Jesus promises in this passage, many of you, all of you, the exception of a couple of women, you're going to abandon me. Things look pretty grim for him, wouldn't you say? Well, yeah, but we've read the rest of the book. Think about it from the perspective of the disciples. Our conquering king is here. There's no way we can fail. And then he's snatched away from them. That feels and sounds like uncertainty. He invites them to pray. He doesn't invite them to fix everything, to plan their escape, to plan their way out of it. Instead, it is to use the Son's name as a way to pray on a silver platter from your voice, your mouth and lips to God's ears. You pray in my name. It doesn't just give us clearance to be able to go to God without the threat of being smited by him. It endears God to hear your prayer, not just as not an enemy, not just as someone that's neutral, but as someone that is loved by God, as his own son or his own daughter. Why? Because he loves you like he does his own son. He doesn't give us stones. He doesn't give us snakes when we ask for fish. Our God is a good God, and he promises to provide for our needs. When we plead to him, it's as if Jesus pleads. When we pray in Jesus' name, it's by praying for his name's sake, to make him look good. When we ask God to provide for our needs, it is for his sake to be glorified and look good and point to his cross and his resurrection. The reality of God's love strengthen you and strengthen your prayer life. And he concludes his earthly ministry, but then he looks forward to his heavenly ministry. That's the second half of the passage. The disciples, they felt confident. Probably some of us in here are a little bit overconfident. When trials come, I'll never forsake you, Jesus. Someone calls you a bad name. Someone hurts your feelings. I'm pretty sensitive. I would feel the temptation too. But even more than that, threats of death. Their life being taken from them in the same way that their master's life is being taken from them. You too might be tempted in the same way. But no, we'd never leave. We get it now. We want to believe. And what happened? What was the result? Their strong certainty about who Jesus was. What did it net throughout the rest of this time? We know that you're the one that God sent to us. All of the certainty in the world didn't keep their feet planted. When tribulations and trials come, regardless of how you want to interpret this, as birth pangs, knowing that God is even working something good on the other side when you can't see it, it's still really hard to stay put and keep your feet anchored. Why? All their certainty and all their trust wasn't enough to keep them where they needed to be. I'd submit to you that that goes very much the same for you and me too. Whoa, 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 Pastor Tim. What about having a strong faith and a strong trust and all of that kind of stuff? Throughout this entire passage, this book of glory, 13 through 20, Jesus teaches so much. He's revealing to his disciples so much. I'm going to love you, I'm going to serve you, and I want you to love one another the way that I love you. I'm going to give my body and my blood for you. I want you to trust and believe. But here's the deal. You don't want me to go. I have to go. John 16, a few verses before all of this, Jesus is telling, not forecasting, not maybe, not possibly, he's predicting, I am going away, but I'm sending a comforter, a paraclete, a representative, an advocate for you, the Spirit of God. So not only do you have access to my Father forever because of me, when you pray in my name, it's for my name's sake. And that is music to my Father's ears. But when tribulation and trial comes, you're able to stand fast and stay locked in, anchored. I think you see this later on. Before the Spirit of God comes and fills the disciples, they all turn and run. They lack courage. And yet, just a couple of days after at Pentecost, Peter the coward, who denies Jesus multiple times, not just in sleeping, but even to a slave girl later on in John, he does something that he wasn't able to do before. He stands faithfully. You don't just have access to God. You get the very presence of Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth. You get Christ's own presence mediated to you today by the Spirit of God. And the one who overcomes the world is able to overcome every trial, every tribulation, every circumstance. And it doesn't mean that you come out on the other side unscathed. It does mean that God is working on your behalf for good and other people's good and universal cosmic good too. Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection that he continues to talk about all throughout the Gospels, even while we're going through Mark, cosmic implications. But you get to experience it because he leaves. You get to experience it personally because he leaves. You get to pray to the Father because he gave his body and blood for you. You get to be loved by God, the triune God, always and forever, and you're welcomed into fellowship with them forever. Because he was sent from the Father. and because he donned flesh, and his flesh was broken, and he goes back to the Father to intercede on your behalf. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, take courage. Take note. I've overcome the world. That's Easter. Jesus is saying, I have. It's definitive. It's done. Tetelestai is done way before tetelestai is enacted. But we're in this weird tension right now. Holy Week is meant to be, it's meant to be a device for remembrance and contemplation and devotion to Jesus. We should be doing that every day, every week of the year. What's special about Holy Week? I need all the help that I can get to remember important things. So starting tomorrow, Holy Saturday, Jesus was tried, found guilty of a joke of a trial. He eventually breathed his last. And the sky goes dark. And it's like heaven is holding its breath, waiting in anticipation. Would you wait in anticipation with me? We know that the resurrection has already occurred, and we're just waiting for Jesus to return. We want him to come. This may very well just be another Sunday and another Easter for you and me. But here, a visitor or guest that comes here, this may very well be the most important Easter that they've ever experienced. Not only that, but there are countless other churches in St. Louis and across America and even the world that are going to faithfully herald the gospel of Jesus. They're going to announce the good news of Jesus. I'm going to ask you to pray intently starting tomorrow and going into Holy Saturday. And would you join me in praying and fasting? Just a couple of days. I want you to pray with a close, like a friend or your family, and draw them close. There are going to be a couple of devotionals online for you to be able to look at and watch with your family or your friends. And I want you to think about and pray about what God is teaching you in this particular passage or this particular devotion. What is God calling us as a church to do in light of this particular devotion? What does God want to do in North County and the world at large in light of that piece of scripture that someone is sharing? And then fast. I'm not going to tell you how to fast. You got medical issues? Hey, I'm not a doctor. I'm not telling you to fast from food 100% of the time. Maybe you need to delete social media. Maybe not watching movies every night. Maybe you do fast from sunup to sundown. I don't know. But as you do, think about the cost of your sin. That it took the Son of God to pay the penalty of your sin. Fast looking outward, not just inward, but outward too. That we can be broken at the fact that our world is broken. And yet if dead people can raise from the dead, maybe our community can too. Maybe your friends can too. And so fast on their behalf, pray on their behalf. Would you join me in fasting and prayer? Just these next couple of days, asking the Father's favor. Let's start that right now. Would you pray with me? Father, when you hear my prayer, when you hear your people pray in Jesus' name, it is sweet music to you. You're not a grumpy, unhappy God, but when you hear your people pray in Jesus' name, like for Jesus' sake, that gives you joy. It is the sound of a dad hearing their children cry out, I love you, I need you, I want what you want. Father, like Jesus in the garden, we pray that it would be your will and not our will. And Jesus taught his friends to pray. He told them to make your name holy and pray that it would be like heaven here. Father, we want what you want, and we believe that you want to change people's lives, change their hearts. You want to see dead people come back to life. You want a lost and dead world, and you want lost and dead people to know you and be loved by you. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that this would not just be a normal, everyday Easter for us, that we would see you with fresh, new eyes, that we would experience personal resurrection again and again, drawing strength from the one that overcomes, that when trials come, we know that we could stand fast because His presence is mediated to us through your Spirit. Help us showcase strength and courage to a weak and lost, broken world. Father, we thank you. Father, we love you. I pray that you would use tonight. Pray that you would use this weekend. Father, we pray that you would have your way.